Amen? Amen. Oh, come on now. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we rejoice in the Lord tonight. Well, I want to invite you, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 1 goes right along with that song as we think about all that's been sung there on several of those songs about heaven, about the Lord Jesus Christ coming forth from the grave. What an absolute blessing. That points us right here to the book of Acts, chapter 1. It is good to see each of you here tonight. So good to have some folks from Center here tonight. So good to have Betty and Christine with us tonight. I tell you, I'm blessed as a family. I really am. I appreciate our church family, and I appreciate my family. And Cousin Matt, good to see you back there, Matt. Matt was on the front row last night. You backslidden on me, Matt. You're right up there on the front, man. I'm kidding. You're good, brother. I see you back there. But I'm telling you, I appreciate y'all being here. It's been an absolute joy to be with you this week already. I appreciate your pastor and his wife and all the great folks and leaders and Brother Clinton and everybody. Just what a blessing. God leading us. It's just been good. Tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 1, I want you to look with me, if you would please, at a few verses and just share some things from my heart tonight about the church. If you found your place there, I want to begin reading in verse number 5. Or verse number 4, if you would. If you can physically able to stand, I'd invite you to stand, if you would, please. And look with me, Acts chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 4. The Bible says this: "And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put into his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Would you pray with me tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus? We are so thankful, Father, for the privilege and the honor that we have to be in this place. Thank you for the wonderful, Lord, worship that was sung tonight through these folks, God, that you have gifted, Lord, to bring us to the throne room of grace. But tonight, as we come to this part in the Scripture, Lord, I'd ask you tonight, God, to please fill us with your Holy Spirit. I would ask you, Father, to preach through me your truth tonight. Father, I am thankful for the church. I'm thankful, God, to be a part of the church. But I pray tonight, God, that you would once again ignite our hearts as the church to see what you have for us as a local body of believers. That, Father God, what you did here in these early, Lord's pages of the book of Acts, I believe, God, you're still willing, God, to do today if we'll find our place, God, where you would have us to be. And, God, I believe you're not done with the church. I believe, God, you still got to work for the church. Help us, God, to find our place, God, and you'd speak to us tonight. God, if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray, God, they would come to know you, God, before it's too late tonight. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You might be seated. I love the book of Acts. I've always loved to study the book of Acts. I remember as a young pastor there, starting out there at Woodlawn Baptist Church, and had the pleasure of following my dad, which I'm grateful for those years that I sat under his feet and learned so much as a pastor. But I just began to seek the Lord's heart as I walked to the book of Acts and said, "Oh Lord, what does it mean for your church?" The book of Acts, written by Luke, the physician, gives us the history of the early church. Now, I understand there's some things that God did there in the midst of the early church to begin to set the pattern for the church. But I also know this: there's some principles that we can learn from this beginning of the church. How many of you know sometimes it's good to go back to the beginning? Yeah. Sometimes it's good to go back and look at things. I'll never forget the quote when they said one time to Billy Graham, Billy Graham, the way you're preaching, the way you're doing, you're going to set the church back 150 years. He said, well, I'm missing the mark. I'm trying to set them back 2,000 years. I'm trying to go back to the place when we saw God move in supernatural ways. I don't know about you, but I desire to see God move. I desire to see God move among His church. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be here tonight. As we think about the early church, Jesus gathered with them on the hillside. He had already told them as He gathered them, and the Apostle Peter began to make an explanation and said, Jesus said, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock. Now listen, He didn't build it upon Peter, but upon the truth of who He was, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, He would say, I will build my church. Yeah. That tells me a couple things. It's His church. Yeah. Amen? Let me just go and just clarify that. Sometimes I'll say, sinner, my church. You'll say, where you go, your church. But sometimes we just say that because that's where we go. Some folks say that and they mean it. I'm not in charge. You're not in charge. It is the Lord's church. It is His church. It was His church at the beginning, and it's His church still to this day. He is the founder. He's the source. We are His church. And here in the book of Acts begins what we call the birth of the church. Jesus had shared with them and said, men, I'm going to be going away. That began to startle them. Why? Because think about this for a moment. They'd been with Him for 3.5 years. Every step they took, He told them where to go. Everything they would do, He told them where to do it and how to do it. As long as He was with them, they had power. He had given them power and authority. And here He is going away. He'd been teaching them for 40 days. And now He says, listen, now I'm going away. They begin to ask a very logical question. Lord, will You now at this time set up Your kingdom? Why would they ask such a question? Because they've been taught throughout their whole childhood that the Messiah would come and He would come set up His kingdom. So the Old Testament prophets, now stay with me here, I don't want to lose you. Paul says and Peter says there was something that was hidden to the Old Testament prophets, and it was the church age. They couldn't see it. All they could see was the King ruling and reigning. So when they saw the Messiah, they kept waiting for Jesus to come instead of His kingdom. When they saw Him crucified, they thought, surely that's not going to happen. But now He's resurrected. Now He's in power. I'm just singing my boys. I'd be just like them, gathered on that rock going, uh-huh, that's right. Y'all tried to kill Him. He's alive now. Rome, look out. We're coming to take you down. We finally got ourselves a king. He's alive. He's resurrected. But Jesus says, no, I'm going away. And He says, by the way, the time and the seasons of my kingdom, that's not in your authority. But I'm going to give you something to show you what you're supposed to do. And guess what? These same things that they did are some things that we can do to see God work once again in the local church. You know, it's amazing to me. So many people today are wanting to dismiss the local church. So many people today say the local church is no longer needed. It's no longer efficient. It's no longer... Matter of fact, and listen, I'm not dogging folks that do this. But I mean, because listen, so many people, they say, well, I can do this. I can meet here. I can meet that. Listen, I still believe in the local church. I still believe the Bible says that we're not going to forsake ourselves or the assembling together. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, so much so as the day approaches, we should get together more and more. Amen. That's the Michael translation of the book of Hebrews. You can read it for yourself there if you want to. But it basically means this, the closer He gets, the more we need to meet together.
Yeah, amen.
But why do people think the church is dead and dying? Because I'm telling you, it is a different day. Anybody ever get discouraged doing the work of the Lord? Anybody ever feel like, well, why am I even trying? Why do we even gather? Why do we do what we do? I'm here to tell you, God's not going to base our rewards in heaven on what we have accomplished by our own goods. He just asked us to be faithful. He said, just stay at the stuff. Just do what you're doing. But at the same time, it wouldn't hurt us one bit to go back and look at what He did there in the beginning that we might could see, God, what is it You want to do in our hearts tonight? I was talking with a gentleman today at the funeral, and we were just talking about different things and how it is a different day to serve the Lord. It's a different day. The builder generation, thank God for those folks. They stay with the church. But nowadays you've got some folks that just don't want to think that church is there if it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
But after that, it's not really important. But I want to say to you, the church is very relevant today.
Amen.
And I believe in the local body of believers. So what would God say to us at the church? I'm going to move very quickly. If you'll listen quick, I'll preach quick. Amen. Y'all make that promise, all right? Listen closely what he says. He says, I want you to first of all see some things. I want you to see first of all my power. He said, I'm going to give you the power to do the things that you can't do on your own. He says in verse number 8, you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It speaks of the dynamite of God. But it's not just some power all by itself. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, before we get all excited and think we're getting Pentecostal, we talk about the Holy Ghost. How much of the Holy Ghost is that third person of the Trinity?
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ ascends up, he basically tag teams the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes down. And at the moment there, when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. Preacher, how do I get the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked so I can tell you this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this. At the moment of salvation, we who were not there that day when the Holy Spirit came like that, we are now baptized into one body in the Holy Spirit of God. So you know what that means? That means the moment I got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means He come and immersed and got inside of my heart. Now listen, I don't have to have some extra experience other than that, but I tell you this much. Every day I've got to be filled, controlled, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, lest you think the Holy Spirit's power is just for preachers and just for singers, you need to understand something. It is for all of us.
Amen.
I need the supernatural power of God every day of my life.
Amen.
The thing that stirs my heart often, and I pray about, Brother Greg, is the prophecy that Paul gave to Timothy. Timothy said, in the last days, there's going to be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That means you'll have everything that looks like a church, acts like a church, but there's no power. Daddy could tell you, when I was growing up, I loved to play church. I did. I would get the nightstand, and Mama would keep some of the cousins, And so we'd play church a lot, and bless their hearts, they never got to be the preacher. I always had to be the preacher. They took turns being Sunday school superintendents, but I was the preacher. It was my house. It was my nightstand. That's right. And I mean, we'd get there, and we'd have the nightstand as a pulpit, and we'd have folks doing Sunday school, and we'd have we'd all these different things. And I can remember still, they still tell me that I did this to them. Every time we'd play, and I'd start preaching, I'd tell them I was going to hell. Bless their heart. They just wanted to... But we did, you know what? You know how we saw that? You know where we got that? Because we grew up in church. Now stay with me. If we're not careful, what Paul is talking about, having a form of godliness, we've all been in church. We know when we're supposed to sing, when we're supposed to say amen. We know when we're supposed to pray because we've seen it. And we can come into a service and not operate in the power of the Holy Spirit one time if we're not careful.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit's power is evident in our life, He will manifest Himself in the presence and the power of our churches. We need the power of God. But listen to what He goes that further. Why would He give us that power? Because He shows us His purpose. He said, you shall be my witnesses. Witnesses. He said, I've left you here for a reason. I've got a purpose for you. You ever thought about this? If all He wanted to do was just save them and save us, when He went into heaven, why didn't He say, all right, boys, this is all there is. There's a resurrection. You believed in my resurrection. You've seen me. Thomas, you believe. Peter, you believe. Let's go to heaven, boys. He didn't. You know why? He wasn't done with them.
Yeah.
There was a purpose. He said, now that I'm going up, you're staying here because my purpose for you is to be my witnesses. That a witness, it simply means of one who can share what he's seen and heard. He said, I want you to go and begin to go into places, and I want you to share what I've done, share who I am, share about my burial, my death, burial, and the resurrection. Share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be His witnesses. And by the way, that's everybody. Our purpose in the church is to be His witnesses. That means we're to show and share the love of Christ everywhere we go. That means it's our job to tell folks about Jesus It's our job to invite folks. Did you know the average person would come if we invited them? If I dare ask you, you're saved tonight and you're here, and boy, it's been a great service, and I praise God for that. But if you go back a little ways, go back a little time to when you were not going to church, did somebody invite you? Did somebody get a burden for you? Did somebody call out your name? Did somebody come to your house? Did somebody may say, oh, preacher, it wasn't me, but it might have been your daddy. It might have been your granddaddy. It might have been your family that wasn't at church. That somebody went knocking on that door. Somebody made that phone call. Somebody showed up at the house. Somebody at work invited you. Somebody at school invited you. I'm telling you, we got to get back to a place where we understand we are witnesses for God, not just in this church house, but everywhere God has us.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I'm not giving the full-time Christian service. You know what? I got good news for you and bad news for you. The bad news is you don't get a choice. The good news is you're all in full-time Christian service. Oh, prove that. The Bible says you saved us and called us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. That means you received the calling, all of us. And that means you're a missionary wherever you are. Whether you're a retired person, whether you're in the school, whether you work in a factory, whether you work on a farm, you are a missionary to the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are. To be His witnesses. We're to do it with our lifestyle. We're to be different than the world. We're to do it with our lips. We're to be able to share Christ with Him. Now listen, as God prompts you, what do you mean by that, preacher? You know what I'm talking about. When you're talking with somebody, you say, well, I need to say a word for the Lord right here. Y'all with me? And sometimes I'll do it. But can I just have confession time? There's times I don't do it. And I'm miserable. And I've missed the blessing of God. Amen?
Yeah.
But we're called to be His witnesses. That's our purpose. What's His plan? The plan is what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Christ's plan is we start at home and we work our way out. We start at home and work our way out. That means that we do ministry here locally. We do ministry regionally. We do ministry around the state. We do ministry around the nation. We do ministry across the world. I'm here to tell you, everybody draw in real close to me. This ain't just for certain size churches. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know what I tell our folks all the time? God meant this for Robertstown too. Y'all ever been to Robertstown? It's about that long. Y'all all right? We got downtown covered. I mean, we're right in the middle of downtown. But you know what? God's called us to do this very thing from Robertstown, Georgia. Just like He has right here on the side of this road. Just like He has where you're at. God's called us to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Jerusalem is our local area. People right around us. People that are lost right around us. There's lost people all around us. Judea. That's in our reaching out into our county. Reaching out to the region around us. Samaria, let's take a step right here. That means reaching people that ain't like us and maybe we don't like.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
The Jews hated the Samaritans. Hated them. Well, I just tell you, I believe God will use somebody else to reach them. Find me that. Find me that parenthesis. Find me that place that's got a star beside it and says, that doesn't include you and me.
That's right.
Find it. It ain't there. He said, you shall be my witnesses to people you may not might be different than you, might look different than you. You know what that means? That might mean somebody that's coming in that's got long hair.
Yeah.
Come on.
Preacher, you got a problem with long hair? Son, if I could grow it long, I would. Why? You know why I'm growing this goatee? As soon as I get it long enough, I'm transplanting those things. I'm putting them right up here with this little prayer flap, my daughter calls it. I mean, if I could grow it long, I would. Now I got some of y'all's attention. It might be somebody comes in, has a t-shirt on that we don't really approve of, but they're lost. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
I was at a church recently, and a young man got saved. And his hair was long. Heard a man say this, and it got my blood boiling. I may make some of y'all mad by saying this, but that's all right. I'll be gone tomorrow night. Hey, listen, here's what the guy said. He didn't say, son, I'm glad you saved. I'm hoping what God's going to do in your life. He's looked at me and said, I got some cow shears at the barn. If you'll come tomorrow, I'll cut that hair off. What that man didn't know was that young man was growing that hair long for locks of love because he had a loved one that was dying of cancer and wanted to donate that. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Huh? Hear what I'm saying. Well, you meddling now, preacher. I know I am. Because I get uncomfortable sometimes too. When you see different, listen, but I'm telling you, under God, we got to start reaching out to people, because the devil is, the world is, and we're the one that has the hope they're looking for. And listen, don't expect them to come in and act saved if they're not saved.
Amen.
They're going to act like the world. You know why? They're lost. You know what do some of us good? And I'm not saying that we need to go back there, but we need to be reminded sometimes we ain't always been saved.
Yeah.
Thank God somebody loved on us. Thank God somebody reached out to us. Thank God somebody had the doors open. Thank God somebody's preaching the gospel. Thank God somebody loved some people. Thank God people still went to trailer parks and went to homes and went to places they didn't really know, that they weren't sure about. Thank God people kept knocking on doors. I am thankful I'm a byproduct of somebody getting saved in our house, and it passed down through our family. Preacher, you tell them you got saved because... No, I'm telling you because somebody in my family got saved. My mom and dad took me to church and I heard the gospel and I got saved. And because I got saved, I took my daughter to church and she got saved. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But go back when my family wasn't in church. Thank God somebody loved on my family. Amen?
Sure.
You all right? Everybody good? Amen. See, when I say that, I don't look up at you because you may not be smiling at me. So I'm just going to stay right here. The earth. I lay my cards on the table. One of the reasons that I had a desire in my heart to be a part of the Southern Baptist Church. And now listen, I'm not just saying we got the corner market, because we don't. Was missions. Because I still believe that we need to be a part of the whole earth from Robertstown, Georgia. That's why when we do what we call Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes all over the world to missionaries all over the world, I implore our people. But guess what? I don't just implore them and ask them, I give. Because there's a good chance I'm not getting on a plane and going to Asia. Y'all all right? There's a good chance of that. But I can give. And the gospel can go forth to a pastor who's sharing the gospel. I believe this needs to start right where we're at. In our own Jerusalem. Looking for ways. Finding ways. Going after people.
Bless you.
Why preach? Why is it important? Listen, there's not a plan B.
That's right.
He didn't say if this doesn't work, we'll have to go to plan B. There's not a plan B. Why is it important there's not a plan B? Why is it important? Because people without Christ still die and go to hell.
Yeah.
We need to be reminded of that tonight. That those people that are around us, if they die without Christ, they're going to bust hell wide open. But the good news of the gospel is they don't have to go there. We need to be ambassadors for Christ and implore them in the name of Jesus, don't go there.
Yeah, amen.
That's why we're here. That's why Pleasant Hill is here. That's why your church is there. So we can be a lighthouse and a witness. We're not just here to turn the lights on, turn the heat on, and try to make you comfortable. Listen, Baptists will never get comfortable with the temperature until we get to heaven. Amen. Let's just settle that. Folks going to get hot. Folks going to get cold. That ain't ever going to get right. Y'all all right with that? So we're not here for that. We're here so people can hear the gospel.
Amen.
The saints of God can be encouraged to go back out there into a dark world and share the gospel and live the gospel. I knew this was going to happen when I went off what I planned. But God, this is where God's heading. This is where God's taking us. Not only His plan, but His people. Well, look in verse 13. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealot, Judas, the brother of James. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Y'all remember this as a child? Here's the church. Here's your steeple. Open the door. See all the people. Come on, don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Y'all ain't never seen that? Help me, somebody. Now, what if we did this, though? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. And there's no people. The people make up the church.
Yeah.
See, Jesus said, I'm not just going to send an angel to do this. I'm going to empower people. Oh, but we don't have the perfect church. They didn't either. Y'all remember Peter, right? Help me.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all look at this ragtag bunch of folks here. They, so many folks at one time or another, they didn't get along. James and John, as a matter of fact, wanted to send fire down on folks. They were known as the sons of thunder. Peter denied the Lord. Thomas didn't believe in him. Simon the Zealot, if you know what a zealot is, they hated publicans. Guess what Matthew was? Hello? Tax collectors. Hated them. But God put them together and did something very unique. Because it takes all kinds of people. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. We ain't all the same. I'm a shouter. I'm loud. I get excited. Other folks, they're not wired that way. And that's okay. I had to come to grips with that. There used to be a time I used to get frustrated as a young pastor. Because I remember nobody was coming to the altar. Nobody was getting excited like I was. I was a lot lighter back then. And I jumped up on that front pew because they didn't come to the altar. I mean, I was saying, boy, bless God. Y'all ought to get right with God. I believe somebody ought to come to the altar. I can't believe y'all ain't come to the altar. I can't believe y'all ain't getting fired up. I mean, I'm just letting them have it. I'm going to sing one more verse. They all came. They didn't come because it's under conviction. They just come there scared to death what I was going to do. I scared them to death. But you know what God taught this old boy right here? I want you to hear me. Not everybody has the same personality I do. Not everybody's wired the way I am. That's why God put us together. But I would say this. Be who you are and the best you are in Jesus in the church. God puts our personalities different. He wires us different. He gives us different abilities in the church. By the way, there were women there. That was unheard of in that day. Why? Because God is saying the ground's level at the cross. Yeah. Bring everybody in. We're all in this together. Thank God for the people. I want you to hear me tonight. It wouldn't be a revival service tonight if it wouldn't be you. Amen?
Yeah.
If you didn't make the commitment to be here, if you didn't come and teach Sunday school, teach VBS, listen, you can't have this stuff without people. Chris Anderson and I were talking this morning. I tell you, I'm thankful for the people that God's put in my life. At Center Baptist Church, I am blessed. We've got some here tonight. They are some of the... I mean, we've got some faithful folks that minister in our church in ways that I can't. That's the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, it takes us all. One other thing here. He goes on to say they were in prayer together. The Bible says they were in one accord in prayer. It's a sad state of affairs. The lowest attended meetings in most of our churches are prayer meetings. It is. I remember when I was pastoring, when 9/11 hit, we called for a prayer meeting that night. Man, we were blessed. I mean, I remember church packed out with people to come and pray when 9/11 hit that Tuesday night. Guess what? Regular scheduled prayer meeting the very next night. Some of those same people that were burdened when they realized, hey, it ain't going to really hit my home. I'm okay. They didn't come back the next night.
Yeah.
See, prayer's important when tragedy hits. No, prayer's important every day, every moment. A church that prays is a church that has power.
Yeah.
It just really is. And not just the pastor, but the people pray, there's power. But let me give you one final thought tonight. It's the promise. See, I saved it. The Bible says they saw him go up into heaven, and verse 11 says, "Why, you men of Galilee, stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Why is that promise important? Everybody look at me. Because it'll be worth it after all.
Yeah.
See, this world's not all there is.
Right.
Everybody look at me. I'm done. I promise. I want you to hear me tonight. Hear my heart. This is not where I plan to go tonight, so if it seems scattered, it probably is. But the best I know how, I'm trying my very best just to be obedient to the Lord tonight. I really am not. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just bearing my heart because I want you to hear me. I believe God wants to speak something to us tonight as we come to a time of invitation. We need this promise because sometimes we get weary in well-doing. Because it ain't easy when you're trying to preach and teach and serve and show up Sunday after Sunday thinking, boy, today will be a little different. Somebody may come.
And sometimes those days come and it's glorious, but sometimes, boy, it's a battle, isn't it? And you want to think, boy, what's the use? So the world doesn't care. You want to drive through our city in the summertime and drive through Helen, and your heart break when you think, boy, why do these folks not come to church? Why it just breaks your heart. And sometimes you think, boy, are we even making a difference? But I'm telling you, when the trumpet sounds and we go be with Jesus, amen, we'll be glad we did. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be glad we served. We'll be glad we prayed. We'll be glad we witnessed. We'll be glad we shared. Because there just might be that one person that comes up and says, oh, you don't remember me. But I was at Vacation Bible School and you talked. And I didn't get saved then, but what you didn't know was I went home that night and I asked God to save my soul. And I went back to my home church and I told them, you never knew it, that you made a difference by sharing the gospel, but you did. Oh, it'll be worth it all. They might be that person that comes up, you never knew it, but you witnessed. You came to my house and I didn't come to your church, but I stood up several nights later and I thought about what you'd said and I trusted Christ as my Savior. You'll say, oh, it'll be worth it all. Maybe you gave that mission offering. Maybe you gave to that church and you say, boy, I don't know, is it even worth it all? And that church went and did Bible school. They went out and did missions and somebody got saved and they say, oh, you don't know it, but I got saved because you gave. Aren't you thankful that somebody kept the lights on for you to get saved? But it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And He'll say to us, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Oh, child of God. The world's given up on the church, but let's not. Let's stay strong in the power of God. Let's stay strong in the plan of God. Let's stay strong as the people of God. Let's stay strong in the prayer before God. And let's stay strong in the promise of God He's coming. Until He calls, though. I want to be like my coach used to tell us. Michael, you keep blocking, son, till the whistle blows. Michael, you keep moving those feet till the whistle blows. Michael, why'd you stop? I didn't hear no whistle. Listen, until the trumpet blows, let's keep working. Let's keep praying. Let's keep inviting. Let's keep going after it. It'll be worth it after all, I promise.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I just ask you. Come with a hymn of invitation. God knows your heart tonight. Number one, if you've never been saved by God's amazing grace, I would beg of you to come tonight. I would beg of you to come and trust Christ, your personal Savior. He died on the cross so that you could be saved tonight. But I wonder tonight if there might be somebody that say, oh, Michael, I know I'm saved. But I'm a servant in this church. I serve in some capacity. Or I'm a member of this church. And I've got a little weary and well-doing at times. And I've wondered, is it worth it? Would you come and let God give you a fresh touch of His power? Would you come and just maybe bring... Maybe there's somebody that's lost. When's the last time you brought their name before the Lord tonight? When's the last time that you shed tears for somebody that was lost? Maybe you need to come and bring those to the Lord tonight. Or maybe you just want to come and say, oh God, don't let me give up. Help me to keep going on until the trumpet sounds. You just need to come tonight. Would you come? Would you come before the Lord? They're going to sing. You come. Father, speak now as only you can. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Greg will be here. If you need to come, won't you come tonight?
Brown Book 90.